Hallelujah. He is so good. You know, we're going to walk out of here higher than we ever have been. And we're just going to keep going up and be higher the next week. That's the way it ought to be. I mean, life goes like, you know, you may have some challenges, you may have things hit you, but we ought to still just be keep, the trend ought to be up. So you may have some things knock you, and you look, yeah, looks like it's going like this, and then you go up and go, but it ought to just keep trending up. That doesn't mean that we're never going to have a challenge, but we need to know who we are in Christ, what He is to us, that He's on our side, that we can keep going. Not when something comes, start looking down and start saying, see, I told you this was going to happen. See, the devil's doing this again. No, don't speak that. Speak, I'm going over. This may have been looking like a little setback, but God's got this under control. He saw this 2,000 years ago. He saw this, you know, forever ago, and He already knew what to do about it. He's already taken care of it, so I'm going to look at Him, and I just keep sailing on. Hallelujah. Life is good when you know Him. Yes. Glory to God. Well, let's turn over to Romans 8. We've been talking about being led by the Spirit of God for several weeks now. I believe this is our eighth or ninth one. We've been starting in Romans. Romans 8, 14. Romans 8, 14. It says, for everybody there? It's on your sheet as well. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So we've been talking about being led by the Spirit of God. It says, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're a son of God. If you're a son or daughter of God, you are led by the Spirit of God. And it's us in developing how to recognize His voice, how to become more attuned to follow Him in life, in everyday life. And I mean where we live. Not some off woo-woo, you know, walk in a cloud all the time, but in everything we do, in practical things, in big decisions, in small decisions, just in life being led by Him. And we've spent many weeks talking about this, different facets of it, and talking about being led by our spirit primarily. Turn over a few chapters to Romans 12. We don't have time to recap everything because we'd be here all day. So I encourage you to go back and listen to some of those messages. Listen to all of them if you can. Get caught up with us so that we can, if you haven't heard them, so that we can go forward together. We talked about this. We've been talking about the last several weeks renewing our mind to the Word of God. Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies to a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we went over this last week, a little bit the week before. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So don't do things the way the world does them. Don't say, well, that must be the way to do it. Everybody else is doing it that way. If they're not following God, we don't want to do it that way. We want to do it God's way. Now, if you see somebody that's doing it God's way, you can say, okay, that's the way I ought to do it. But we don't want to be conformed to the world, but be transformed or changed into something else. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you, that that we would be changed by our mind being renewed to the way he thinks, that we'd start to think differently. Because if we, you know, somebody said a definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting the different results. And so many times what we have a tendency to do in our own lives, it's like we have a way of doing something. Well, I'm going to try it one more time. Now, trying one more time is not a bad thing, being persistent. But doing the exact same thing and not making an adjustment and just beating your head against the wall again and again is not the way to go. And if we see somebody, the way the world's doing things, it's not working. Has anybody else noticed that? Yet people say, well, that's the way you do it. Listen to so-and-so. That's the way you do it. And crash and burn. Well, we'll try it again. God has a better way. He has a way to do everything. He's covered every part of our life. So much of it's in the Word. And that's what we're going to focus on today, I believe. But He wants us to be led by our spirit to follow what He says, but we have to renew our mind and change it so that it aligns with the way He thinks, not the way the world thinks. And part of that is trusting Him and believing that He has a right way for our lives, and to believe that He's there and He is going to help us no matter what, because the world doesn't believe that. The world's saying, if I don't do it, it's not going to happen. That's different. That's part of mind renewal. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We looked at this last week. Look at your sheet. Romans 12:2 in the New Living Translation says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, of this world, but let God, so you got to let Him. He's not going to come in and change you. Do you hear me? Unless you submit to Him, unless we yield to Him our will, He's not going to come and just say, change now. You're going to be act this way from now on. He could. His power is there, but He's limited Himself by His word. He won't do that, because otherwise He wouldn't send anybody to hell. He would never send anybody to hell, but He gives man a free will. And they can say, no thanks. If He's not going to change that, how much more? He's not going to just tweak us and say, well, you change it. Now, what I'm not saying, He will help us and He will work through us as we yield to Him. Now we've given Him place. Now He'll change us. And that's exactly what this is saying. It's saying, let God transform you. So if we let Him and yield to Him, He'll do it. We'll just cooperate with Him. He'll do it. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now what I want to focus on is that let God transform you into a new person. He's going to do that. He's going to transform us. Isn't that what we agreed at the beginning? That we're going to leave here different than when we came in. How is that going to happen? Look at, let's turn over to Hebrews 13. We're talking about being led by the Spirit of God. And as we're led, we are going to be following Him in the pathway that He has for us. He is going to transform us as we're going. Part of that's by renewing our mind. Renewing our mind to what? The Word. We've been saying that for a few weeks, but I want to focus on that specifically. As we look to the Word, there are things that aren't in the Word. He doesn't tell you who to marry. He doesn't tell you what job to take. But there are principles that guide anything, even those decisions. And so many times, we got to make sure that we know what's in the Word before we're looking to something outside the Word. In other words, I've seen this. Brother Hagin actually used to say this many times, that he would see somebody, and I've experienced it myself, they're going to make a move for a new job. And he would ask them, so what church are you going to be going to when you go there? Do they have a good church? Well, I don't know. We haven't looked into that. You know, it's paying so much, so and so much more. So we're going to go. But do they have a church? If you get there and they don't have a place that you're supposed to go and hook up and that your family's going to be and that you're going to be nourished and be built up so that you can continue to do what you're supposed to do, that's a bad decision. So if you're looking to be, if we're looking to be led, what job should I take? Well, maybe it's this, but we violated another part of God's word where he says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, that you need to be in church. We all do. There's no sense in looking which place you ought to go if we're not looking to what the Word already tells us to do. Amen?
Amen.
And it's tempting to do this. Well, I'm going to look over here. God, tell me what to do. Well, there's so many things that look in our situation. Has he told us what to do that's going to help us now that already applies? And do that half the time. I can't say a percentage, but I do know a good portion of the time, if we'll just do the word, yeah, we'll tweak the specifics that actually need to be led by him, but just following the guidelines of the word will bring us so far. I told you to go to Hebrews. Hebrews 13, is that where we're going? Hebrews 13, 20. It says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Notice that. May the God, he said, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may that God make you complete or perfect or mature, all that we ought to be. Doesn't that sound good? Isn't that what we just saw? That God would transform us into a new person through the renewing of your mind. Here he's saying that God would make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in us what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. I want to read you that. Look on your scripture sheet. Look at the Amplified version of that. Verse 21 says, may the Lord, before this, then it's saying, may God do this. May God strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good, that you may carry out his will. Notice that you may do what? Carry out his will. Are we talking about being led by the Spirit of God? That's his will, right? He's going to lead us in line with his will. So he's saying, may that God make you what you ought to be, strengthen you to do it, equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will, while he himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever, to the ages and ages. Now, before we go into that more, look over at 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 3. Second Timothy 3, verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Margin of my Bible says training or discipline in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now hold your finger there. Just look at your sheet again then. And look at Hebrews 13, what we just read a moment ago. So notice that we just read that Scripture will equip you, will complete you, right? This is one of the ways that God accomplishes what He's talking about in Hebrews there and in Romans. So let's look at Hebrews. Actually, let's go and look at Romans, just on your sheet now. Look at Romans 12:2 in the New Living Translation. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. Now look at Hebrews 13:21 in the Amplified. The previous verse says, may God, verse 21, strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out His will, while He Himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. Now look at 2 Timothy. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. One of the ways God is going to bring us up, bring us further in His will, equip us, and make us complete is through His Word. He's going to grow us up. They just said the Word is for these things. Let's read it again. In 2 Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It means it's all inspired. It is God-breathed through men, but it is anointed. It was spoken or written through unction. It was God-inspired. It says, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. You know we need to be instructed? It says instruction in righteousness. You know we need to be instructed in righteousness? We need to know who we are in Christ. We also need to know how to walk that out practically on earth. What does it mean to be righteous? You know, if you really knew you were righteous, then when you don't do something you ought to do, and you blow it, you wouldn't wallow and get depressed and feel like it's all over and start saying a bunch of stuff you didn't know, that you don't want to happen. You wouldn't do that if we were really instructed in righteousness. If we really knew who we were, we wouldn't do that. So we got to be trained. We got to be brought up. We got to be there. How are we going to do that? The Word, just an anointed Word. The Word is anointed, but there is not just hearing the Word or just reading the Word. God put us together, joined us together, put us in a body like this, so that the gifts of God could go forth. It says over there in Ephesians that God gave gifts unto men. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Hallelujah. Let's go over there and look. Got it. Hold your finger. We're looking at the sheet, but I just want to show you this, how this goes in conjunction. Ephesians. God is so good. You know He's growing us up right now? He's bringing us right up. He's doing exactly what He said He was going to do. We're getting up. He's just taking us and said, all right, here we go. Ephesians 4, verse 11. This is why you want to have your Bible. Not everything's always on the sheet. It says, everybody there, Ephesians 4, 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. Tossed to and fro. Can you see that? What is that? That's like a wave, he says. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Can you see that? Like a wave on the sea. Well, I'm going to go over here, and this is the big thing. Oh, well. Well, nope, now this is the big thing, and you go over here. Nope, but somebody else says, no, 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 this is the way it is. Oh, we go over there, and we listen to this. Oh, now there's another thing. Go over here. Do you know that's childish? Run over here. Run over here. Listen to this, listen to this, go, well, this is the big truth. God's truth doesn't change. We understand more of His truth. God emphasizes certain truths. He does that from generation to generation, but His Word doesn't change. Nobody has a new revelation. They may tell you, I have a new revelation. No, it's just restoring what is in the fullness of God, and it will never go outside of the Word of God. He said that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Well, this is the way you do it now. I have the new way. Watch that. There's nothing new. By the trickery of men in the cunningness, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Know that? Notice that again. May grow up. Do you want to grow up? I want to grow up. Like I said before, I want to be further next year than I am this year. I want to be further in 5 years than I am now. I want to look back and say how far I've come. Not in pride, not in arrogance, saying, God, thank you. Your word has changed me. Your word has changed my family. I was walking here, but I see differently. I'm at a higher level. We want to grow up in Him. It says, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. We need the truth. Sometimes the truth will slap us across the face. Has that ever happened to anybody besides me? Yeah. You've been doing something for years. And then you see something in the Word. And whoa. Did I read that right? Man, that hurt. You mean I have to change this? I've been doing this for 8 years this way. I thought I was right. You mean I need to change? Wait, let me read that again. I read the Word, or I've heard the Word preached. Been like, you're right. Now we have a choice. Am I going to hold on to what I've held dear the way I've done it? Or am I going to change? Am I going to let the Word of God be the authority in my life? What did he say? But speaking the truth in love that we may grow up. You know, the truth can come and slap us right like that, and we can decide, I don't care. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causing the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So I came over here to emphasize, back in verse 11 and 12, it says, He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. We're emphasizing the Word, but that you can read the Word, and you can also hear the Word, the anointed teaching of the Word. You could be reading a verse, and reading the verse, and then some you hear the word of God preached under the anointing, and boy, the blinders just come off. It's happening right now. It's happening right now. There are things that we're seeing that it's like, I see it. It's as clear as day. It's just like everything comes away. You can see it. Why does that happen? It's the anointing of God. It's the Holy Spirit. We say anointing, it's how God works, how he's working on certain individuals. It's him. But he gave that so that we could all grow up. But we still have a choice. So it's the word. It's the preaching of the anointed word. Now go back. We are looking at your sheet. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped. See, it just goes right along with each other. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word of God will equip us. As we seek to do his will and go about his pathway for our life, we'll be equipped. If we'll let the word of God dominate us, the word of God determine how we behave in every life, we'll get higher, we'll get stronger, we'll walk at a higher plane, we'll be thoroughly equipped. Can you just see this happening? Just equipment. It's just like you're here and you have these pieces missing, but you walk with God, you see something in the word. It may slap you across the face. You say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to change that. You change it. Another thing, maybe not so bad, just kind of pinches a little bit. You say, yeah, I'm going to change that. Say something knocks you off your feet. You get up, shake your head, say, all right, Lord, I'm changing. You keep going like that. It's like things are just being put in place. You're becoming thoroughly equipped to where you're walking around stronger and more stable and secure in God, thoroughly equipped for everything, every good work, for his will for your life. You come up against things that used to knock you over and you just plow through them. It's boom, boom. Why? Because you've been equipped. You're getting more and more complete. We are all growing up to where we're stronger than we ever were before. Not in us. We know it's not us. Because we know how we used to think and we know what changes. We know if we would have kept on where we were, we wouldn't be here. But the word of God came and we made the decision to yield to what he said, and something changed in us, and we did it that way and said, well, this is good. This works. And then we go and something else comes, and we had a little bit of experience now. We say, God, it hurts, but I know that your word works. And we get up and we go on and we see it's good. And then we go on further and something may knock us down. We get up and say, this doesn't look easy on my flesh, but I'm going to do it because it's your word. And we get up and now we're stronger than ever. Now we have some momentum. Now we're going forward and God says, do it. You say, it hurt, but I know where this is going. I'm going to be stronger. And stronger, and stronger. God never meant for us to be just, you know, getting tossed around like we read in Ephesians. Boom, boom, boom. I just don't know. Where's God? And boom, we're getting smacked and the devil's God is turning every which way. Something's not working there. And a lot of times it's we're not letting the word be our guide. The word comes, like we talked about, hits us, slaps us, pinches us, and we say, not doing it, and go on. When we do that, we choose to open up confusion. We have the light, like the light comes. We see the light. We see what we ought to do. We see the truth. And we look at it and say, I'm not doing it. We just added confusion to our life because we have the truth. We saw what to do, and we say, that's not it. Now things don't work, and we're looking around like, where's the answer? The answer was there, and we chose to ignore it. And that opens up. When we don't do what we know to do, what are we yielding to? If we're not yielding to God, we're yielding to the influence of the enemy. And now he's the author of all confusion. He'll try to push us this way. But the good news is, no matter where we've gone, no matter how many times we've done that, if we'll just come back and ask God, God, show me. I'm ready to change. Show me. Boom. Something that we saw 5 years ago, something that we saw 3 years ago, something that we saw last week comes back and we say, oh yeah, you did tell me that. I'm changing it now. I'm not messing around anymore. I'm going forward. I'm tired of messing around over here. I'm tired of monkeying with this. I want to be strong. I want to be secure. I'm going to do your word. And when you show me something in the future, I'll change it. No matter how much it hurts, I'm changing. Because I want your ways. I want to be this thoroughly equipped, strong, secure man of God or woman of God. Hallelujah. The word of God is strong and powerful. Let's look a little bit more about it. Turn over to Hebrews 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll tell you what, this is exciting. There's no limit. If we'll just walk with Him, we just keep going up. We keep getting stronger as we allow Him to strengthen us. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4. Verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." What will do this? The word. It'll cut through. And we need this. Notice what it says. It says, it's living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We're talking about growing up in Him, being led by Him, going on the pathway that He has for us. There are going to be times where we're going to hit something, like we just talked about, and we have to discern between, is this my spirit or is this my head? Soul and spirit. Well, is this just my emotions thinking this? Or am I supposed to do this? Is the Spirit of God leading me? You know, you can feel something is the Spirit of God. This is exactly what we're talking about in this series. But you can think something, be excited about something, and think, well, that's God. I'm excited about this. And it's your emotions. You're just excited. How do you discern? Sometimes it's so close. You're like, is that my spirit? Is that God? Or is it just, I just like this. I mean, it's blue. My favorite color is blue, so I want to get it, and I feel like God's saying it. And it's really just Jim saying it. It can happen. It can be like that. What's going to divide and say, this way, that way, this is God, this is not? The Word. The more we make sure, how am I making this decision? Look at other parts of the Word. How does it say I should handle this situation? Suddenly you see, that's just me. Never mind, I'm going on. I'm waiting for the right thing. And time will do that too. If it's God today, it'll be God tomorrow. It'll be God next week. It'll be God next month. God is not in a hurry. Never has been. Never will be. So if we think, no, it's God. I gotta act now, or I'm gonna miss it. It's not God. The only way God have already prepared you, and you'll be mature enough to say, yep, that's what we're supposed to do. We're gonna act on that. But He will already have prepared you. God is not going to bring you something that depends on you just acting really quick in order to make it, and it's something you're not sure about and it's causing stress. That's the enemy pushes you. He pushes. He tries to get you to go. If you just put the brakes on and say, well, God, I'm just going to let this sit till I can divide. I'm going to see whether it's you or whether it's just me. And I'm just going to, you'll show me tomorrow, and you're patient and kind. You're not pushing. You put it like that. And you just look at the Word, get in the Word more, all of a sudden it becomes clear. And the Word of God will divide between the two. The Word of God makes it clear, and you say, yep, that's just my flesh, or yep, that's you. That's you. It's there. That's you. We're going this way. Now you can stand up and say, we're going this way. This is the way we're going. I know it. The Word of God's backing me up. My spirit's backing me up. This is the way it's going to be. And you're going to go forth. Look over at 1 Peter. 1 Peter verse or chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may what? That you may grow. God's going to grow us up with his word, and he will continue to do it. He will continue to do it throughout our life. We'll keep seeing things, even if we've read it 100 times in the word. We'll read it and say, oh, okay, I never saw that way. And we're a little higher. We grow. If we'll yield to it, we grow. And we continue to grow like that. But the word will grow us up. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn back into Psalms and look up a few verses. Psalm 119. Actually, all these next verses are in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is a long psalm. If you get that one for your daily devotion, it might take a little while longer than you're used to. Psalm 119. 130. Everybody there? It says, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. It gives understanding to the simple. The word of God will make us wise. Wiser than we are in the natural. If we'll just follow what it says to do, we can walk at levels that we never have before. Just because we're yielding to Him. Just because we say, Lord, you've been around longer than me. Your word says to do it this way. See, that's why we have got to realize and got to get it ground into us and confident that God has seen everything before. He's already put his word into existence, and there is nothing is going to update or outdate his word. That it is the best way to do things. It always has been. It always will be. There is no version 2.0. There is not going to be version 1.1. It is perfect the first time. And so, no matter what the world says, that it says, this is the way you do it now. We know what it said, and they're saying this all kinds of places. Well, we know what that ancient book says about this, but we don't agree with it. And so it's outdated, and it's full of errors, and we're going to do it this way, and this is right. And we have all these things that are going wrong. Don't. We ought not to be fooled by that. God's word, the entrance of his words, gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. Let's go to verse 23. Let's turn back a little bit. 23. Notice this. Psalm 119, 23. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Psalm 119, 23. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. In other words, there are people that are higher up, and they're saying things against me, but I'm just going to look at what the word says. And what does it say? Your testimonies are also my delight, and they're my counselors. I can look at God's word and say, this is the way out. This is how I'm supposed to go out in this situation. And he'll quicken things to you. You look at the word and he'll say, this is what it is. You do this, this will work. This is the way out. Look back at verse 9. Same psalm. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can he change? How can he make it right? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Young men, young women, he said, this is the way. How can we make our way clean? By letting his word be our counselor and dominate us and say, I'm going to do that. And he said, then we won't wander away. He said, verse 11, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I know I've hidden the word in my heart and I let that dominate me so that I'll know, no, that's not the way to go. This is not the way to go, and I stay focused up on his word. Let's turn to one more scripture in closing. Joshua 1:8. I hope our desire and our reverence and our zeal for his word is just going up today. I think he's just bringing us up and saying, don't discount what I've already told you to do. We're talking about being led by the Spirit of God, but sometimes people get so out here and say, well, we got to, let's go out here and see what God's saying, and he's already given us so much. We don't want to take that for granted and ignore the word that will stand for all ages that will already tell us what to do in so many cases. Joshua 1:8. Actually, let's go back to verse 6. It says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you... Now, notice that. Be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all that the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Now, notice this. I've said this before. Some of you have heard me. But this is all they had. The law is all they had at this point. That's the word of God that was written. So in New Covenant, we know the law, his statutes, is his way of doing things. And to us, that would include all the counsel of God. So you don't go back and then and say, well, we just limit ourselves here. No, it's all his counsel. That would include the New Covenant and so on and so forth. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you, do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That means we're just saturated with his word. We're looking at his word, looking at how he does things. He said, meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Hallelujah. Is it that simple? Can it be that simple? That God tells us to do something, that we see in his word to do something, we do it, and we'll have good success. Yes. If we'll look to him, let his word be the final authority. We'll keep prospering. He said we'll have good success and we'll prosper wherever we go. Amen? Thank you, Lord.